Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
All right. Good morning. This is Willard Welch, and this is June 19th, 2012. And we're having an interview with another drum alumni, Johnny Ikus, and we shall get started with our interview. John, can you tell me your full name?
John Henry Ikus.
And did you have a nickname at the farm, John?
Oh, they usually called me Johnny.
Okay. And where did you come from to go to the farm?
Well, this is something that I wished I'd asked Mr. Nelson years ago, how he come about to come to the state orphan's home in Atchison, Kansas, and come to the school and knock on the door and want to see me out of nowhere and ask me if I would like to come to the farm and live in Independence. And I said yes. The next day I was in his car with my clothes on, all I had, heading for Independence.
Wow.
And so I don't know why he ended up picking me, but I was a good worker there at the orphanage because we had chores just like we basically did at the farm.
Right.
And anything I did, it was always better than the other guys did. If it was my time to clean the room, I did a better job of sweeping and dusting and mopping. And I also had, we had a special room in the basement where we would go and get our haircuts and go to the dental and have any dental work done.
Right.
And that was my job to keep that thing clean. So the only thing I can think of is if maybe he asked the orphanage if they had some boy that was good, because if you were bad, he didn't want you at the farm.
Oh, no.
So I guess I had a good report there. The only reason that he come to school and picked me out and wanted to know if I come to the farm. As far as I know, I'm the only one that ever come from the orphanage.
Right.
So that's how I come about getting to the farm then. And I've enjoyed it. I mean, I liked it for my own.
Right.
And I've always said if I had some kids that I couldn't take care of, I would like for them to be in a place like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because you learn a lot.
Oh, definitely.
And you learn work ethics, and I didn't mind doing that. And so
No.
I enjoyed all the stuff that we did.
Right.
Even if I got in trouble sometimes.
Well, you were a boy after all.
Yeah.
How long were you out at the farm?
Well, I was out there probably 6 years, I believe. Because I'm not for sure if it was actually in 47. Or the last part, I believe it was right around December of 46 that he came and got me. So I think my first Christmas was at Drum.
Oh, okay. So, and then you stayed till graduation?
Stayed till graduation. And after graduation, of course, back then, you want to get out and be on your own. Be your own boss. Get a job, get a car, and be able to do what you wanted to do.
Right.
So, I mean, I ended up graduating, and my best friend was Jimmy Elliott, and Jimmy was in the same class as I was in, but we had one hayride where we made wine from the grapes that we had. We had a grape vineyard.
Right. I remember.
Big one. And so we made wine and put it in our calves barrel because we had calves our senior year that we could have for a project,
right,
for 4-H or FFA. And we had this wine in our calves barrel, and one blowed up and ruined all the corn. So we took it and dumped it, and then, of course, went back into the barn and helped herself to the more corn without paying for it. And so anyway, that was what I did after I got out of the farm then.
Right.
So I got a job first at Bendo Manufacturing Company, and when the big steel strike then in 51, we were laid off at Bendo because we were making coke machines at that time.
Right.
And I was on the assembly line assembling the doors of the coolers. And when we were on strike or laid off, I went to a truck line to PIE and got a job and told them, well, I still got to go and spend this next week at Bendo, and then I'll wanting to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I started working for PIE then. And I stayed there then until I retired then.
Oh, okay.
But I went to the service in the meantime. And so my seniority at PIE continued the whole time, my 4 years that I was in the Navy then.
Right.
So when I came back then, I had seniority to bid on a job that was not just working on a dock then.
Right.
So I stayed there then for 38 years then.
Wow.
So then retired.
And
after I retired, during the flood of 1993, the Salvation Army needed somebody to run their warehouse for disaster material because of the flood and run the warehouse. So they came to our church. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and we go to church here in Independence. And they come to our church and wanted to know if there's anybody there that could run the warehouse and do the different things.
Right.
And all. And so I worked on the dock. I handled all kinds of freight. I run the high-low. I drove a truck. So all of this, I ended up working for Salvation Army, and I got a stipend then. So I got $500. I don't know if it was $500 a month I received as a stipend then. And so I worked for Salvation Army for 8 years then.
Wow.
And then one time when Salvation Army got thousands of dollars worth of cards from Hallmark Cards, and they sent cards to every federal prison in the United States, and the government paid for the postage there at the different seasons we sent the different cards. And the state prisons, they had to pay for their postage and freight to get them.
Right.
So Hallmark Cards gave the cards to Salvation Army, and at that time Salvation Army was using the prison at Leavenworth. So the prisoners at Leavenworth were doing the sorting and doing all of this, getting it all shipped out.
Right.
And then in about 95, then they decided that they weren't going to do it at the prison anymore, that they was going to bring it to Kansas City. So we were going to do it in Kansas City. So therefore, they started bringing it to Kansas City, and I was a warehouse manager and runner of running and unloading, loading, and whatever it was to be done there. And then when the flood came, I hauled materials in up to the Missouri City and all different places around here where the Salvation Army was helping build with the Amish and Mennonites were building homes and fixing them up and all for the Army, and I hauled the materials up for them. So I stayed with the Salvation Army for 8 years then.
Wow.
So then I retired then.
Again.
I retired again, and that was in 95? No, I mean, that was, well, I don't know what year it was. But it was eight years I worked for them, and in 2005 is when we decided to sell our place, and that's when I quit then, Salvation Army then. So right. In 05, then, that's when I officially then retired. And in the meantime, I'd been off with an injury when I was at the prison. I was unloading the truck, I was loading the truck, because we were getting all of the stuff out of the prison then and bringing it back to the Salvation Army warehouse that we found. And the guy let the lift gate down, and I backed up and fell out of the truck on my head and on my shoulder and tore my rotator cuff up. So I was off work for a while.
Yeah, right.
So in the meantime, they hired Chuck then, they put him in as manager of the warehouse then. So when I come back, I worked with Chuck then. And then when I sold our place and I retired from Salvation Army and doing home projects and travel a little bit.
Well, that's good.
That motor home.
Yeah, that's good.
So, but basically that was the start of it.
Yeah, well, that's good. Let's go back a little bit now. What high school did you go to?
We went to East High School, and we only went a half a day to school. We couldn't participate in the sports because we had vocational agriculture and study hall in the afternoon. So vocational agriculture sometimes proved to be hoeing the corn, picking strawberries, or doing all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because we were in 4-H and FFA. And so in the meantime then, basically then, we weren't able to do any sports. And I graduated from East High School then.
Okay.
And
now, do you remember any of the fads during those school years?
Do what now?
Any of those fads?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a crew cut until this is my second marriage. And I was married to my first wife 16 years until I got rid of her. And then I met this wife through church and through my Sunday school teacher. And now I guess I'm getting old because I almost forgot what I was going to say. The fad then was, I had a crew cut. I had a crew cut then until I met my wife then. And we got married then in 72, the first part of 72. And I finally decided I didn't want a crew cut no more, so I ended up cutting it. But we had penny loafer shoes and I don't know. We kind of dressed up like cool, hot kids, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Of course, that's why we was anxious to get away from the farm so we could have our own kind of clothes that we had, because we more or less had hand-me-downs at the farm.
Right.
You might have worn them, or an older person might have worn them at the farm, and they just got washed and got handed down to the younger boys. So I know there's one picture of us one of the first years I went on a camping trip. We went to Yellowstone National Park, and we all up there taking a picture, and we all looked like, to me, it looked like a bunch of orphans. And I guess that's what we were. Because, we all basically had the same kind of clothes and everything. And so, really, we didn't get in on any of the activities of high school. So,
right.
So, we didn't get any of the fads and different things that they was doing at school.
Right.
And I didn't ever smoke or drink. And I don't ever remember being drugs in school.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so.
Now, you talked about 4-H and FFA. Do you have any memories of those activities?
Well, I like both of them.
Good.
I like both of them. In the 4-H, we had woodworking and learn how to weld and electrical, learn how to wire and wire a house and do all kinds of things like that. And I had a son, and I always told him, don't tear up nothing unless you can put it back together again. And so, to this day, if something don't work, I take it apart and see what's the matter with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's possible, then I fix it, and we use it again.
Sure.
So, I liked all of the projects we had in 4-H, FFA. 4-H, we'd grow potatoes, and when it come time to dig them, we'd dig our potatoes, and we stored them in our dairy barn. The dairy barn was a big barn, and beautiful barns we had out the farm. And in our dairy barn, we only used about 8 or 10 stalls for milking cows.
Right.
And the other side usually was empty. And those empty stalls is where different boys then put our potatoes in when we dug them. So this stall was mine, and this was somebody else's.
Right.
So when it was time to sell them then, I mean, we'd sell them, and the profit then we got to keep.
Right.
And so I always liked that.
Oh, sure.
And we, different times, we had different guys from the farm would come back again when we'd be out. Would be the afternoon, would be during this folk agriculture part of hoeing the corn. And different guys, I remember one guy in particular, Joe Warrior, came out there to be kind of supervisor while we're out there. And we really did some dirty tricks to him. We'd throw things at him in the corn, and he'd come after us, and we'd run through the corn. And different ones of the older generation that graduated about 5 years before we were.
Right.
Would come out and kind of supervise and help kind of teach us things. But FFA, I wasn't a very good... I was in a radio skit, and we won good, and we won 1 year on that, and we were in the champion meat judging for the FFA,
right?
And for the 1 year, and so we were active in all of those that we could be in,
right?
So I liked, you know, yeah. We learned.
Oh yeah,
we learned many things both. Yeah. In 4-H and FFA both, that nowadays kids don't even know nothing about.
Yeah, different era.
It's a different era.
Yeah. Now, when you were out at the farm, did you get an allowance?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think what it was. I mean, I said about $1.50 a month, but really I don't know, remember.
Right.
Because I guess I got rid of it as fast as we got it, because we'd go on dates, and we was able to go on dates.
Right.
And so the one girl then that I married then, I mean, ended up, her folks liked me. So we'd get the car then.
Oh.
So whenever I'd go with her, well, we'd get the car then.
Right.
And go to a movie and fill the car up, whether it was needed or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
For us running around, so I don't remember really how much we got or allowance. It wasn't very much, and it didn't go very far.
No.
One weekend, and it was gone.
Yeah, I'm sure of that, yeah. So. Now, going back to the farm, when you have a farm, you always have chores.
Yeah.
What was your favorite chore?
Well, I always liked working in the kitchen.
Okay.
Because I do cooking a lot at home. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I learned how by watching the cook.
Right.
And we always got little nibbles here and there. So, I mean, basically when they made cinnamon rolls and stuff like that. And so I like working in the kitchen. And I liked all the chores. But we had chores like feeding the cows, milking the cows in the morning before we went to school.
Right.
And we would go out and milk the cows, and then we'd have to hurry and get cleaned up as much as we could to go to school. And we drove our own school bus.
Right.
The juniors and seniors drove our own, and usually the seniors in, that we drove our own school bus, and we parked behind East High School and go on in to school. But either way, a lot of times somebody would say, "We must have a drunk farm boy around. I could smell him." Because maybe we had manure still in our shoes or something.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we had to hurry from the time that we had chores, whether we were in the lower barn and having to feed the calves, the cows, or taking care of the sheep or the hogs.
Right.
Or milking and all. So we had chores that we had to get done before we'd go to school.
Yeah, I remember.
So they were enjoyable.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
Now, I know not all of them were enjoyable, John.
No, yeah. I mean, you know.
What's your least favorite?
Yeah. Cleaning the dairy barn. I mean, we always had some cows that wanted to kick. And even in the wintertime, we also fed our beef cattle. We had beef cattle that we'd let into the barn and feed them silage.
Right.
And we'd put up the silage then in the silo. And so one side then would be with the beef animals there at a certain time, wintertime. And they didn't like you behind them very much. And every now and then they'd end up hauling off and kicking you. When you got the scoop shovel going down the track there cleaning the BM out.
The manure.
And they'd end up kicking you. Well, then we'd have to jab them a little bit with the fork or whatever we had pushing their stuff out. And well, if you're going to kick, then I'll give you something to kick about. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of ornery there in that respect. But other than that, if they were good, we were good.
Right.
And so that probably cleaning the dairy barn out and the probably chicken house too.
Oh, yeah.
The chicken house, that chicken BM didn't... It was pretty stinky when it got wet.
Yeah. Now, you talked about having dates. What other entertainment did you have out at the farm?
Well, we had dances on Halloween. Mm-hmm. We had dances different times of the year.
Right.
And so if we had girlfriends, of course, naturally we had them come. And other than that, the girls' home was right out in Independence. And that was, well, I can't think of the name of it right now.
Was that Hilltop?
Hilltop.
Okay.
It was Hilltop, girls' home. And so a bunch of them, some of them girls would come to our parties then. So we could, you know, had party. But I don't ever remember dancing or I was always bashful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was always bashful. And we had Teen Town every Saturday night. See, we
at the school?
At Bristol School.
Oh, okay.
That was my first, when I first got out to farm, I was still in Bristol School. Mm. So then later on then, when I was in high school, they always had east or northeast, basically, in that area there. The school was opened up for Teen Town on Saturday night.
Mm.
So... we would go, we'd get every chance we got that we could go, whether it was going to Scouts on one night, going to youth church on Sunday night, or going to Wednesday night meeting, or going on a date, or anything that we could get to go in town with again, we would do it.
Oh, sure.
And so, I mean, that was fun.
Yeah.
And so we had plenty of dances and different parties and all, and that was what happened with my buddy Jim. It was about Halloween time when we had a big hayride, and Jim got into his wine.
Uh-oh.
And he got feeling pretty good, and he said, "I'm not staying out here anymore. I'm tired of this." So he took off.
Yeah.
He walked off, and Mr. Nelson said, "No, I'm not going after him. If he don't want to stay here, he can go."
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to go get him and bring him back if he don't want to be.
Right.
So anyway, Jim got out, got a job, and he started working for the gas service company. So when I got out, Jim and I batched together then. And we lived together and rented the back apartment over at 3266 Homes. And Johnny Armand was the the union rep for the gas service company.
Okay.
And his wife was one of the first people they found when that tornado hit at Ruskin Heights. Tornado hit at Ruskin Heights when I was coming back from the Navy, and when I went underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, I got the first newspaper. And I looked in there because I heard about the tornado in Ruskin Heights. I knew that's where he lived.
Right.
And I looked for his name, and I didn't see it. And about a month later, or after I got back, I called Johnny one time. And John sounds kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" He said, "Well, I don't guess you know. My wife was killed in the store."
Right.
Because the kids had always been looking. That was about 5:30 that in the evening when that hit. And they'd always listened to Hit Parade.
Hmm.
And for some reason, they didn't have the radio on that day.
Yeah.
And so she had to go to the store for something and went to the store, and that's when that tornado hit.
Wow.
So Jim and I bashed together then, and we laid off work. I was working for Vendome, and he was working for the gas service company. And we stayed off of work one day to go down and sign up, going to be for the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
But his buddy, Ronald Lynch, was in the Marines, and he was a real good guy. He was AWOL. But he told Jim how good the Marines were.
Oh, Lord.
But still, he was AWOL.
Right.
So anyway, we walked down the hall. I walked in this hall doorway and signed up for the Navy. He went on down the hall and signed up for the Marines. And a week later, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 months later, I went to boot camp in San Diego. And he come over and picked me up. And then we, like I say, batched there until, stayed there until we went into service.
So. Right. Yeah. So, oh, gosh. Now, when you were out at the farm, I'm sure you developed some job skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember which ones were most important to
you? Well, I mean, I worked in wood, and I helped build a lot of the benches around where in this one room where we always sat waiting for dinner time.
Right.
And so I helped build them, and also the chest that we're going to have, a 2x2 chest that we had for each boy in between their beds.
Mm-hmm.
And I would work in Mr. Nelson's basement. He had tools that wasn't in the other, in our shop.
Oh,
and okay. He had planers and sanders over there.
Right.
And so, I mean, there during the winter, I would go over there at Mr. Nelson's basement and be working on these chests, gluing them and planing them and getting them all put together and all. So, I mean, that was one of my biggest projects then while I was there. And, of course, electrical is just something that's helped me through the years.
Oh, sure.
And all. Mm-hmm. And welding the same way.
I mean, right.
We did all of that, and mechanical, and that was in part of our study hall a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
We would have stuff like that to do.
Right. Well, so, when you didn't have any more book learning to do, huh?
No. We had it, but, I mean, you know, we had maybe an hour of study hall that we were supposed to be doing our homework and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we made it through school, so evidently we did okay. Yeah. I did okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Now, when you got out of the service, did you go to college or use GIVL?
I never was interested in going to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I started work for the truck line, so then when I come back from the service, I just fell into the same job then of driving a truck and delivering all kinds of stuff then for the company then.
Yeah, okay.
And I wasn't interested in going to college even. We had the opportunity. If I would have wanted to go to college, they would have went ahead and helped pay for my education.
Right.
But I wasn't interested in that. Now, Arthur Kelly, he was a graduate the same time I was.
Right.
And I graduated the same class.
Mm-hmm.
But he went to college, and he studied vocational agriculture.
Right.
So then, you know the history of him. He later became the agriculture teacher.
Right.
And so forth and so on. But anyway, I wasn't interested in going to college. I was just interested in getting a job. And then, of course, when I was in the service and in the Navy then I got married.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had our first, I was stationed in Beeville, Texas, and that's where we had our first girl then in the Naval Hospital in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Right.
So then when I got out, then I was just mainly interested in getting a job and supporting my family.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I had one girl born in Corpus Christi Naval Hospital, one girl born in Oakland Naval Hospital in Oakland, California.
Mm.
And then my other two kids was born right here in the Independence Regional Hospital at Independence Sand at that time.
Right.
So I wasn't interested in going to college. I figured I guess I thought I knew enough. So if I could support my family, that's what I was interested in doing.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. College isn't for everyone anyway. Do you think that Drum could have better prepared you for life than what they did? Do you feel like they kind of lacked in some areas, or?
No, I don't think they did.
Okay.
I mean, we had house parents that were pretty strict,
mm-hmm.
and we still got them. What was I say? We still did things over behind their back that they didn't know about.
Sure.
Like maybe sneaking out after my, uh-huh. after a date where my girlfriend was parked down in the drive in the car
right.
or something. But, I mean, they kept a good leash on us.
Okay.
And as long as you learn how to do what you're told to do, and I've always believed if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it the best I can.
Right.
So, I mean, I've always managed to get along with that principle.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said, I think every kid, boy and girl, when they get out of high school, ought to go in the military for a year or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll realize that they're going to learn how to take orders, no matter who it is from. And they're going to learn something that's going to help them throughout their life also.
Right.
And they're not going to be a mama's boy
mm-hmm.
or girl.
Right.
And so, I think very much that they've helped me in my doings throughout mm-hmm. the years. That,
right.
And
so then you believe Drum influenced your life and helped make you a success.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was baptized in the Baptist church there, and we went to, like I said, of course I went to two different churches. First I went to the Methodist church. Till I met this girl in the Baptist church, and I switched to starting. And when we was out there, we could go to whatever church we wanted to.
Right.
I mean, the bus would load up. I mean, we all went to church. Nobody stayed home. So all of us then would go to church wherever we wanted to. The bus would pull up in Independence there and let us out.
Right.
And we'd go to our church then, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And some of them might have been a few blocks away, and sometimes we'd drop them off and then come on up and park mm-hmm. the bus there by the auditorium there. But it helped me, I mean, to be a better Christian.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And so,
let's see now. Do you have, what accomplishments in life are you the most proud of? Because I know you talked about working and your retirement, and you will talk about your accomplishments in 4-H and FFA.
Well,
and your family.
Yeah, I think more than anything that it helped me be responsible to be able to take care of myself, take care of my family, and to support my family.
Mm-hmm.
And kids nowadays don't know what it's like to be told no, and we were told no a lot of different times for different things. But I told my daughter when she grew up that sooner or later you're going to find out the way you're acting now, you're going to get it from your daughter, and that's going on right now.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I think the farm helped me in that respect.
Right.
To that I was able to support my family, and we was able to go on many trips,
mm-hmm.
and we purchased our home and paid for it and on 10 acres, and I just feel like that's what work ethics did for me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it showed that, you know, stick with something. Don't give up and,
mm-hmm.
and do your best at whatever you're doing.
What would be the words of advice that you'd like to share with future generations?
Listen, there's always people that knows more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn a lot from them by listening and by watching. And if you just learn to take, somebody tells you to do it, do something, do it. Don't ask why, but go ahead and do it, because it's for your good as well as for the reason that you're doing it.
Right.
Farm or whatever it is. So, I mean, be responsible.
Okay.
And I think that's the best thing to say, is be responsible with whatever you do, and be willing to give and take.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What have you done that no one would guess that you'd ever done?
Well, I don't know. No, the guess that I'd ever done, I mean, I don't know if it's the bad things that I've done.
Or, well, it doesn't have to be that. No.
Yeah, I mean, I loved coconut when we was out the farm. We got shredded coconut in 30-gallon containers.
Okay.
And we kept them in the refrigerator downstairs. It was a big freezer.
Right.
And looking back, I mean, it was probably a 5x8 or 5x6 foot room or something, and one section of it. And I made a key for that plate, so I could go in there and get whenever I wanted to.
Right.
And it also was a key to the gas pump. But I would have never stolen any gas.
No,
no. No, I just had that key.
Yeah, right. We know you're a stand-up right guy. What last one, John? What's one thing that you'd like people to remember about you?
Well, for one thing, I don't want them to remember that about me. But you asked for something that nobody knew.
That's true. You filled that.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, that is not something I want people to remember me by.
No, no.
But
no.
I mean, I don't know.
That's just one incident out of the whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just that I was a responsible person.
Right. Well, that's
and,
good.
You know. Yeah. And that's what I would like all these young people nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I got a granddaughter that's not responsible.
Right.
And she thinks everything ought to be handed to her. Yeah. And I think you ought to be, you know,
you
be responsible and be able to
take care of it?
Take care of situations.
Yeah. And earn it.
And earn it.
Yeah, right.
Earn it. Not be afraid to get your hands dirty.
Right.
I mean, if that's what it needs to be, I mean, mm-hmm. do it without asking, being asked.
Right.
That's what gets me.
Okay.
I mean, if you know, you don't have dishes to be done, don't have to be told two or three times to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You see they're dirty, they need to be washed, go do the dishes.
Right.
Be willing to help. I mean, my wife and I get along good because, I mean, I do the dishes. I don't vacuum, but I do the wash, and I do the dishes, and you cook, and I'll do the dishes. So I'm the dishwasher.
Well,
so, I mean, we get along good because
yeah.
we got a good communication.
Right.
And so
we understand. A little give and take both ways.
We give and take both ways.
Yeah.
If I don't know how to do something, she's an expert sewing and a seamstress. And she can repair anything there, and I usually can repair anything. I'm going to be working on my dryer when I get through.
Yeah.
So it's not putting out the heat like it should. So I just figure I can fix it if it's there.
All right, great.
If I can get the parts.
Good, yeah. So. Is there anything that you'd like to add, John, that you thought we hadn't covered or you just like to add?
Well, we didn't actually ask. Now, are we still going to go on for some other questions? Because I haven't mentioned the different trips that we went.
No, we hadn't, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think one of the first years I was out there, I think we probably went to Yellowstone National Park.
Okay.
And I already said, when I get married, that's where I'm going to go for the honeymoon.
Oh.
Because that was beautiful, and we camped out, and the bears and all, and everything. And I really thought that was wonderful. So before I got left the farm, we went to Yellowstone again.
Oh.
And it wasn't like I thought. I didn't, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Right.
But it wasn't as fascinating as it was the first time.
Right.
So, but we went to Yellowstone Park, National Park, twice. We went to Washington, D.C. through the Smithsonian Institute. Mm-hmm. We went to Minnesota fishing.
Right.
We went to Bennett Springs fishing, and we built a flat-bottom boat, and we put that in up in the springs coming down, and it's rocky coming down before it gets to the Niagara River down there.
Right.
And they wouldn't let you do that now.
Oh,
but,
sure.
I mean, we built that flat-bottom boat and tried to get down that stream with that thing. We ended up having to push it and pull it and get it out of there because it didn't quite, there wasn't enough water, and it wouldn't go with them rocks too good.
Right.
But those trips there were very enjoyable. I used, evidently, Mr. Nelson had some respect for me, and because I drove his car a lot when we went on these vacations.
Oh, wow.
And so I was, he had a 47 Chevy. No, that was a, 47 Chevy.
That old Turtleback.
Yeah, an old Turtleback.
Right.
And many a mile I drove him on that.
Right.
While the other guys drove the truck, because we had our camping truck that we had all of our camping gear in, and we would set up camp and fix our meals and everything. And we always had plenty of food to eat, whether it was at Drum Farm or at the camping sites.
That's true.
We always had plenty of food. We never was without food. And we always had good milk.
Oh, yeah.
And we always skimmed that. We separated it in the evening, but we didn't separate it in the morning. So, therefore, we managed to get that cream off of it in the morning milk bin.
Yeah.
And that's what we used for cereal and make an ice cream with, and boy, it was good and rich.
It was, definitely.
And so we went on many camping trips, and I enjoyed all of them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And
you went places so, you'd never been before.
Never thought about ever being
right
there.
Yeah.
And so the way I understand it now, they take different groups, but now it's not a farm like it was a farm when we were there. I mean, we went there as being, that was our home.
Right.
We didn't think about ever being adopted or anything like that. I mean, we just knew that we were going to be there until we
graduated.
Until we graduated, and they kicked us out. And so, I mean, now the way it is, I mean, it's been run good.
Right.
Differently. Differently. And some of us object to some of the ways they're doing it, only because of what they're taking. And we had a certain age group. I mean, when we played football, we always had a football team and basketball. And, of course, I didn't play basketball, but football was my favorite.
Right.
And we would play the high school team's second team and Chrisman's second team and different ones like that. And we'd usually beat them.
Right.
And but we were from seniors down to Davey Davison, that was only about 4 feet tall and maybe 100 pounds. So our team was made up of all different ages.
Right.
And so many a time there that we, you know, we enjoyed those games and we had fun doing that. And then there for years when we had our Drum Farm picnic, the alumni would play the boys at the farm baseball.
Right.
And usually the boys would win only because I guess the old people couldn't run as fast around the bases or something.
Well, and their eyesight wasn't as good.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we enjoyed doing that whenever we had our Drum Farm picnics.
Right.
Because we just merged right in with the other ones.
Right.
And so those were always happy times.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, they're going to want to try to get the boys down to start, you know, having more connection with us.
Right.
And so we can kind of tell them some of the history that we did and all.
True.
And I'm still curious what the bums that burnt down the barns. I mean.
Yes.
I tell you, I mean, we had beautiful barns, upper and lower barns, and it just made me sick and mad to it when those got burnt down and all that was destroyed.
Right.
It wasn't a farm. It didn't look like a farm then once all the buildings were gone.
No. Yeah, so, you're right. All the older animal buildings are gone.
Yeah. And so they're going to start getting some animals again, but there again, it's still not going to be like Whedon.
No.
I understand that. I don't know if the fact that they have to pay the boys to do anything now or not. I don't know.
Well, they're changing that.
They're getting allowance, or well, they may be more than Whedon or something. I don't know. One time they went and called me about 10 years ago and wanted to know if I'd come out and help mow the yard. I said, mow the yard? What's the boys for? I said, we did all of that when we were out there.
Yeah.
We got tickled to death to be able to ride the tractor or drive the tractor, go out to disc a field or mow the hay or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we jumped on the idea
right. Of
being able to do that, the older boys.
Right.
But to be asked if you know, a graduate, can you come out and help mow the yard? Mm-hmm. Very disturbing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, things have changed, John, as you well noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that concludes our interview. We appreciate your participation, and we hope that our listeners enjoy the conversation as well.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, John.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.